Just as I am. Well, what a song. All right, tonight we'll be reading out of 1 Samuel, the whole chapter. And I know there's a lot of verses in that chapter. There's 58 of them. And so if you'd like to read tonight, you're sure welcome to do that. And you can come. All right. 58 and 4. Starts out here, says Cindy, read 13 verses. First Samuel 17.
Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched beyond Shoko and Ezekah and Esphidamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass upon his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the army of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd son, Shemam.
Thank you.
And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto their captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left his sheep with a keeper, and took and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel went, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely they defy Israel. Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?"
Thank you, brother.
And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent before him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girdled his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him.
And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all his assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Jordan arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherem, even unto Gath and unto Ekron.
That's good, my brother.
Good.
Appreciate it. All right, so tonight we will be preaching, of course, Hebrews chapter 11. Keep your finger back. We're going to come back to Samuel 17. But Hebrews chapter 11, as we've been going through the Hebrews, what does faith look like? We're there at verse 32. And the Bible says, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, and of David." So that's where we are tonight, of David. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to be your child. Thank you for the Word of God, the story that has been told, and Lord, for so many years now, thousands of years, the same story. And God, we know, Lord, that it's true. We know, Lord, that it's real. We know that it happened. We know that you're the same God then as you are today. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us in our faith as you helped David in his. God, that we may be pleasing in your sight. I pray, Father, that you'd save the lost tonight. Pray you touch the saved. Pray, God, you help the discouraged. I pray for those that are sick or ill, you'll heal their body. Pray, God, you move within our services today. God, move into our hearts and lives. Father, that we may just give you the praise and give you the glory. Father, help our faith tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on unintimidated. Intimidated. There's very few people I know tonight that's unintimidated. Most people I know are intimidated. Most people that we talk to are intimidated. We find tonight that we have, in America, have went backwards in that mindset. There was a time when we, as a people, wasn't intimidated with anything. There was a time when the church wasn't intimidated by the world. And wasn't intimidated by the devil, intimidated by anything or anyone. But we find today, in this day we live, that it's just gotten weaker. It's just gotten more timid. It's gotten more tolerant. It's gotten more political. It's gotten more people wear their feelings on their shoulders. It seems like that if there's a big growl, that there's just a movement. If it's like a lion that's making a roar, the people just kind of go back. It don't seem like there's any more people, Christians, churches, any longer that seems to be unintimidated. And so tonight I want to preach on that because I believe that's what David was. But David was not unintimidated because of David. David was intimidated because of faith. And tonight I believe that faith is what makes every single one of us in this room one that can be unintimidated in this life. And so I think that's the way we are to live. I think that's the way that we are told to live. I think it's the way we should live. I could say to you tonight, if you say, okay, who was probably the greatest Christian in the New Testament? I'd say Paul. I promise you he was not intimidated. I would say, who's the next one? I'd say Peter. I promise you, he wasn't intimidated either. And so we could go on and on to Elijah. We can go on to others tonight, and we could say, well, you know, they wasn't intimidated. So tonight, I want to preach on unintimidated. And all I say to you, it's not because of David and his courage. It wasn't because of David and his strength. It wasn't because of David and his wisdom. It was because of David and his faith. Tonight, if you have the faith of God, if you got the faith of this Bible, if you have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, you'll find you'll have a hard time being intimidated. It will be natural. It will be normal that you'll come up against that feeling of being intimidated, because that Spirit of God that's in you is unintimidated. And so tonight, we don't have to be intimidated by nothing. We are the children of God. We're full of the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We've got God on our side. If God be for us, who could be against us? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus tonight. And so we're not people without power. We're not people tonight without a purpose. And we're not people tonight that doesn't have a place. And so we need to live as that tonight. As we look at this, though, I want to say that when you are unintimidated, many people say things about you. Don't think tonight being unintimidated is a trait or a personality that is favorable. It's not. It's not. Because many people take your being intimidated and they say that you're conceited. That's what they say. They say that you are conceited. Just like chapter 17 in our text, just like verse 28, Eliab, which was David's brother, look what he said about David. He said, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither, and with whom thou hast left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart." And so we find that he's telling David, the reason why you're right here is because of pride. And really the reason why he's right there, because David's not intimidated. And so we find that Eliab, his brother, his family, is saying, what your problem is you're conceited. What your problem is that you're full of pride. You're full of arrogancy. You're down here not because you belong here, not because you've been asked to come, not because you were told to come, but you're down here because of your pride. And so that happens, friend, whenever you find yourself unintimidated by this world, unintimidated by others who don't believe what you believe, or intimidated by the pressures of this world. People are going to look upon you. They're going to say you're conceited. They're going to say that you're proudful. They're going to say you're arrogant. They think that you are above and beyond. But that's not the case tonight. To be unintimidated doesn't mean you're conceited. But I'm telling you that those closest to you will say, as Eliab to David, his brother, you know what? You're just full of pride. And so tonight we need to be ready for that. The second thing I notice is about when you're unintimidated, not only do people say that you're conceited, but people say that you're contemptuous. You're contemptuous. And so just like the Philistine, or just like Goliath, look there in verse 43. The Bible says, "And the Philistines saith unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" The Philistines cursed David by his gods. And so here we got, because of David being unintimidated by this Goliath, now Goliath is looking upon him in a disrespectful way. He's looking at him in a way of insulting. He's not talking to David with respect. He's not talking to David with any type of honor. He's looking down upon David. And that's what happens when people who are unintimidated by this world, the devil, the flesh, life, death, politics, whatever or whenever, they're going to look at you and say, you know what, you're disrespectful. You know what, something's wrong with you, because you are one that's insulting. Everybody else is doing what they asked to do. Everybody else is being the way they are. And here you are, you got to be different than everybody. So they think you're disrespectful. So we find that really the answer is confidence. David is showing confidence. He's not showing conceitedness. He's not showing any contempt. He's just being confident. And that's what faith does in our lives. It brings a contentment. It brings a confidence. and the people of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." That's confidence. That's confidence tonight, and that's what David was. Now, if you're unintimidated tonight in life, unintimidated in death, intimidated with people, intimidated with things tonight, then tonight you must be of one of faith. But if you're a one tonight that is intimidated, you must be of like Israel. Look in verse 24, chapter 17. The Bible says, "And all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." So that was being intimidated. They're fleeing. They're leaving. That's what happens for intimidation. You just flee. You don't stand the fight. You don't stand your ground. You don't step in the gap. You take your family. You take all the with you, and you all run, and you all hide, and you're scared to death, and you're trying to run someplace where nobody can get you or nobody can come to you. And that's what happened to these people here. They were intimidated by this Goliath because they had no faith. We find that they were cowards. We find that they were powerless. They had nothing at all. But David was not of that group. David was not like the men of Israel. David was not like Goliath. And David was not like his brother Eliab. David was different. But what made David different? It wasn't because of Jesse, his father. It wasn't because of the place he was born. It wasn't because of his age. It wasn't because of maybe he was just a shepherd boy and he grew some, maybe he grew some strength there, or maybe he got some courage out there. And none of all that. It's all about faith. You see, faith tonight has everything to do with confidence. Confidence. I've got confidence tonight, not conceited, not contempt, but confidence. Because Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, that's what tells me that I got the confidence in. I've got things that I hope for, I haven't seen, but I know it's going to take place. I got evidence of things that I've never even hoped for or seen. And so I got tonight, I could say with all my heart that there's a confidence in me because of the faith that God's placed in me. And tonight, that's what David is. Number one, I want you to notice that David's passion for the living God. So you have, when you have this faith that David portrayed and David had, and he's in the Hebrew of chapter 11, he's in the hall of faith, and so we're not saying tonight that God didn't say that he had faith. I'm saying God did have faith. And God said, here's his faith, it's showing here. Why did he have the faith, and when did he have the faith, and what was the evidence of his faith? Well, the evidence of his faith was is that he had passion for the living God. See, when you have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have passion for the living God. I want you to notice in verse 25 that how I know that he had passion, because the Bible says that to defy Israel. They said it right there. Now, they said it. He said it again. Goliath did, but that was prior to David showing up on the scene. So here in verse 25, it says to defy Israel. There in verse 26, he says he should defy the armies of the living God. In verse 29, he says, is there not a cause? In verse 36, the Bible says that he says he hath defiled the armies of the living God. There in that verse 46, he says, this day will the Lord deliver thee in thy hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the world, all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So you're kind of seeing the very motive of David. You're kind of seeing the intent of David. What is that stirring up in David? Why David was sort of like one of the thousand, one of the hundred thousand, one of the sons of Jesse. Why was it David? Well, it was because David's faith. And David's faith was demonstrated by his passion. Passion for the living God. We find as well, as we look and study the Word of God, that we see that David was one who was fixed on this defying the armies of the living God. Is there not a cause? I want the whole earth to know that there is a God in Israel. That was the very push. That was the very thriving in the heart of David here. It wasn't at all Goliath in the way of the battle. He wasn't worried about the battle. He wasn't about the children of Israel and their fleeing. None of that was a focus for David. What was a focus for David was he had a passion for the living God. And that's what happens tonight when you have faith, you have a passion for the living God. You're not distracted with those around you. You're not distorted into what they're telling you. You're not devoured in by anything else tonight. You're not detoured by all the troubles and problems and negatives of life. Listen, your passion is strong. Your passion is true. Your passion is directed unto the living God. And faith is what makes that happen tonight. And so we see tonight in this passion, number one, I want you to know that the men of Israel didn't have this passion. The Bible says in verse 24 that they saw with the flesh. They saw with the flesh. Look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man. You see, they didn't have faith. They didn't have the passion of the living God because they were too busy with their eyes looking at the man. So they saw with the flesh. Number two, they spoke in the flesh. This is what they said there in verse 25. And the men of Israel have seen this man that is come up surely to defy Israel. He has come up and it shall be. I mean, they already have decided that it's going to be this way. That this man, Goliath, is going to take over. He's going to remove. He's going to kill. He's going to be the one whom they're going to serve. And so they already come to a place in their flesh. They saw the man, but then they spoke with their mouth. They're defeated. They have no passion. They're not concerned about the living God. They're not concerned about the armies of the living God. They're not concerned about is there a cause. They're not concerned about the whole earth. They know that there's a God in Israel. All they're concerned about is their flesh. They're worried about their own hide. They're worried about their own life. See, those with faith tonight are not concerned with their own life. They're concerned with the living God. They're not concerned about the fight. They're not concerned about the battle. They're concerned about the living God. And so tonight we find David with this passion. But the men of Israel, they saw and said, but then they were subdued in the flesh. Because this is what they have said. They said, okay, in order for us, and when you're in the flesh, it's like this. When you're in the flesh, I will go if I get paid off. And so that's what it says in verse 25. He says, now he that killeth, the man that killeth him, the king shall enrich him with great riches. So here's a payoff, right? It's not because you have a passion for the living God, but it's because you can get great riches. Let's go out and kill the man. See the difference? So the flesh is in order here. The second thing, there's not only a payoff, but I know there's something to pump you up, right? Because I'm going to give you not only give you wealth, but I'm going to give you a wife. I'm going to give you a woman. I'm going to give you welfare. I'm going to make your daddy's home free in Israel. It's going to be all open. It's going to be everything, free to go, free to do. And so what this is saying is I'm going to have to appeal to the flesh. I'm going to have to attract the flesh in order for me to fight this fight. Friend, that's not God tonight. Friend, if somebody has to prob you and tell you and send you flowers and send you a card and pat you on the back and pat you on the head like a little puppy, and they got to always constantly, come on now, let's do it, let's do it, let's get it, let's get it. There's something wrong with your faith tonight. For the man of Israel, they were faithless. And friend, it took their flesh right along. If it was up to the men of Israel, Israel would have been defeated by Goliath right that day. But we find David. He was a man with a passion because of his faith. The men of Israel had no passion for the living God. That's no faith but flesh. So you're either in the flesh or you're in the faith, right? So tonight, if you're living for the flesh, then that's what the flesh will produce. Death, intimidation, cowards, fleeing. I mean, that's what you'll be. That's what you'll always be. And that's what your family will be. A bunch of cowards. A bunch of people who just flee. A people who's afraid of everything, the rain. afraid. Just afraid. Secondly, tonight, I noticed that not only was the men of Israel had no passion, but Elab had no passion for the living God. Because, see, Elab in verse 28, we read it already, but Elab, he was distracted by his feelings. See, not only does flesh and faith battle, the flesh won in the children of Israel, but now, not only does that, but feelings and faith battle. Feelings and faith. A lot of times you say, well, am I going to go to church tonight? And you say, I don't feel like going, and you don't go. But faith says, I go whether I'm feeling like it or not. Right? God don't ask us if we want to assemble. He tells us, forsake not the assembling together in Hebrews 10:25. So he don't ask us, do we want to assemble? We say, do I feel like assembling? And God says, I don't care really too much about your feelings. I'm not interested in your feelings. I'm interested in your faith. So we find Elab is now distracted by his feelings. He's angered. He is also detoured by his thoughts. Now he's thinking that David is only there because of his pride and naughtiness. And also he is distorted by his passion. Because his passion is to just let David have it. Elab is not concerned about the armies of Israel. He's not concerned about the living God. He's not concerned about is there not a cause. He's not concerned that the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. He's not concerned at all because of his feelings. And tonight, faith and feelings. Oh my, we find tonight that there's no faith but feelings. So we got to determine tonight, am I going to live by faith or am I going to live tonight by flesh? If I'm going to live by faith or I'm going to live by feelings? If you're going to go with flesh and feelings, you're going to be intimidated all your life. But if you go with faith, you'll be unintimidated. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I like it. I don't like too much this thought about being intimidated, right? What we find tonight about this king had no passion for the living God. Saul, he had no passion for the living God. Look at this in verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth. And he made a man of war from his youth. And so what was his problem? What was the king of Saul, the king of Israel, what was his issue with? Well, I say what his issue was. He was blinded by the fact. See, there was some facts in what he said. What he said about David was true, wasn't it? That David was just a youth. And David was just a little ruddy guy. And he was just a small little fella, you know? And so in looking at the facts here, you go over here to look at Goliath. He is whose height is about 6 cubits in a span. If you take that, it's probably about 9 foot or something. And so you get old David over here, I would say he's probably, I don't know, maybe 5 foot, and you got a guy 9 foot. I mean, we're talking about almost a double of David, and boy, he's just looking down on this little ruddy, small guy, and Saul saying, man, there's just no way. But here's the problem with Saul. He didn't have no passion for the living God because he was blinded by the facts. He's just looking at old David, how small he is, and how little he is, and how insignificant that he is. I'll tell you something else that he is. He's not only blinded by the facts, but you're not able, David. But he is hardened by the facts because he says you're nothing but a youth. You're not an adult. You're just a youth. You're not even a teenager. You're just a youth. You're not even a teenager of the what Israel would consider to be a teenager of those days. And you're less than that, David. You're just youth. And so his facts are true. But friend, listen, you can't determine this life of faith with facts. You can't allow facts to control your life rather than faith. There's a lot of facts in life that you and I deal with on a daily basis, but we can't allow the facts to control us or to intimidate us. And we find Saul, he was ignorant in the facts. He's telling him in verse 38, he's saying, you're not armed, son, so I'm going to have to give you my armor. So verse 38, he says, and Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. And so here's Saul. Saul is still not having no passion towards the living God. He has absolutely no faith of the living God. And he's telling David, listen, you are too small. You're just a youth. You cannot go against this Philistine. He is 9 foot something. I mean, he is just big and huge. So I tell you what, we're going to have to put my armor on you, David, because there's just no way that you're going to be able to do it. So I don't see faith in that at all. I don't see passion for the living God. So what I see is, I see he had no faith because of facts. So those three people, there was either faith or there was facts, faith or feelings or faith or flesh. And if you're going to live by the facts, you're going to live by the flesh, you're going to live by the feelings, you're going to be intimidated all and pushed around all your Christian life. So we find tonight, number two. Not only is there the passion for the living God, but I noticed he had his past with the living God. And so tonight, you and I that are in present, when we have to face an enemy, when we have to face a situation, when we have to face something that's bigger than us, when we have to face something that's larger than what we can handle, when we have to face something that's going to be maybe tragedy, it may be something that will bring harm and hurt, something that is big, a big mountain or a big storm or a big darkness or a whatever you want to call it tonight, anything and everything. It could be a person, it could be a situation, it could be a job, it could be a sickness, it could be of anything that we can even think of tonight, but it's greater than we are, and we have no idea how we're going to handle it, no idea how we're going to overcome it, no idea how we're going to subdue it, no idea how we're going to come over it and through it. And so tonight, what we're going to do, I tell you what you firstly can do, you can think about the past. When God in his past, and that's what David said. David went to his past. Because the faith of today, if you go to your past, will help you live for God today. So he goes to his past and he says this, and I'll go quickly. He says in verse 37, he said, David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion. So there ain't nobody in this room can handle a lion. But David did. But he handled it because the Lord handled it. Right? Now, if David would have said, hey, yeah, I delivered myself out of the paw of the lion. I tell you what I did, man. I was standing there, and I got a stick, and he come at me, and I took this stick, and I jabbed it up into his throat, and I took his neck, and I ripped it off. And David, wow, he's like Samson or somebody. He said the Lord delivered out of the paw of the lion. So now we're talking about facing this Goliath, and he's talking about in the past. So I'm telling you tonight, if there's nothing in your past where God has delivered you, then you have no faith anyway. You're in trouble. Because what you're about to face is going to overtake you, and it's going to subdue you if you don't have a past of God delivering you in other things. Amen? All of us have been delivered, if we've been saved for any time, of things, of people, situations. He said, secondly, he said, not only did I be delivered by the paw of the lion, but God delivered me from the paw of the bear. So now a bear. So we're not talking about some little old, you know, chihuahua. He didn't come up against old, Smokey the bear. He come up against a bear, a big bear, a bear that would hurt him. But man, the Lord delivered me out of the bear. And so we find that his past with the living God. What's the odds of somebody defeating a lion? What's the odds of somebody defeating a bear? What's the odds tonight of somebody defeating Goliath? I'd say all those are slim. I'd say all those tonight would be very slim. And that's probably why all of the men of Israel, every single one of them, if there was 100,000 men of Israel of that day, 100,000 men of Israel were afraid and fled. Because this is a big giant. They called him champion. The only way that you're going to be able to stand up against a bear and against a lion and against a Goliath is faith. There's some Goliaths in our lives. I preached a message one day about that, about a Goliath in your life. What do you do? Now, that's not tonight's message, but tonight, the fact is, it might be on an everyday basis. It may be a once a month. It may be once a year. But you're going to find that Goliath is going to show up on your doorstep. And without faith tonight, you're going to be taken over. And you're going to be intimidated by it. And it will run your life. It will run your mind. It will run your marriage. It will run your home. And it will run you to the ground. Because you're living on feelings, and you're living in the flesh, and you're living on facts instead of going by faith. I feel sorry for you. That's a horrible life to live. But David was one tonight that in order for him to live by faith, he used the past with the living God. So David's history tonight gave him a faith of unintimidation. And I could go back, hey, God took me out of this bear, took me out of this lion. You're going down, fella. I mean, there was absolutely no intimidation at all. Can I say here thirdly? You see, oh, I got so much time. Thirdly, tonight, I'm enjoying this message. I know tonight it's a message that everybody's heard. Everybody's heard David killing the Goliath and all that kind of stuff. But man, I tell you, God's given me some things I don't think I've ever heard anybody say before. I'm just saying, I like it when he does that for me. When I can leave out of here, I think, boy, I learned something tonight. I said, thank you, God. I want you to notice number three, his persuasion in the living God. His persuasion in the living God. We're talking about faith tonight. Number one, in verse 39, he had no confidence in Saul's armor. The Bible says, and David girded his sword with his armor, and he essayed to go, but he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. You know what David said? Because he was persuaded in the living God. He had faith in the living God. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, all your armor, all you had, Saul, all that you wore in your battles, I got no confidence in that. No confidence. I can't. I haven't proved it. It's not proven. It's not proven to me. I'm not persuaded of it. I can't go that away, so I'm not going to wear it. I'm not going to wear it. So you say, what does the enemy have on? Well, let me read it to you. You read it a while ago. But he says this in verse 5. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. And weight of a coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of a spear was like a weaver's beam, and a spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. One bearing a shield went before him. That sounds pretty heavy, isn't it? I mean, listen, I can imagine what that guy sounded like when he started walking. I guarantee you it was shaking the ground. I mean, the sounds of all that metal and all that hitting each other, and boy, him coming there, and you just looking at him, he was really intimidated in so many ways. All that stuff he had, all that weight that he had, man. We're talking about hundreds of pounds of metals, and so this guy come with a big, tall stature and all that. And David said, "You know what? All that you put on me, Saul, I've got no confidence in that. I'm talking about the persuasion in the living God. You know, a lot of us say, hey, Saul." So, did you see Goliath? Did you see all that he had on? I mean, you're giving me like a third of what he has. Could you go back into your closet and could you give me some more stuff? I mean, I just read you some things he had on his legs, his arms, his chest. He had it all over his place, right? And he just gives him a little bit. Saul, go back to the closet. Go back into the attic. Go somewhere else and find me some more stuff. So I got to get at least equal, right? He said, no, I got no confidence in that. None. Number two, he not have no confidence in Saul's armor, but he had no question in David's weapons. Because immediately, look what he did, verse 40. And he took his staff, his hand. He chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. What was his weapons? A staff, a stones, a sling. David had no questions No questions concerning his weapons. No confidence in old Saul's armor, but he had no questions in his. There's been many days in his life when he had in his shepherd's bag a stone. You don't carry a sling without a stone, right? So with this thing about a sling and a stone and a shepherd's bag, that was his normal daily as a shepherd to the sheep. So he's in his own world. He's in his own comfort zone. I mean, he's where it's comfortable. He's where there's confidence. And many days out on the field and many days out there as a shepherd boy, and he's out there with those sheep and those wolves are coming and those other animals are coming, a lion and a bear evidently, and they're coming to get those sheep. That sling and that old stone has come out many times to help him out in those days. And so he's comfortable with it, but he's come up against a big old Goliath. But he's still comfortable with his. He has no questions. I'm okay with a staff. I'm okay with a stone. I'm okay with a sling. I'm okay. See, that is tonight persuasion in the living God. Because what did he have? What did he have? Well, I mean, he had. It tells us that in verse 45. He said he had a sword, a spear, and a shield. He's got a staff, a stone, and a sling. He's persuaded of the living God. Hey, no fear. Verse 42. He had no fear in the giant's words. The giant's speaking heavy here. I mean, he could back it up too. Look what he says in verse 42. He said, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was about a youth, ruddy and a fair countenance. Verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. Verse 44. And the Philistines said to David, come to me, and I will give the flesh of the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. I mean, verse 42, 43, and verse 44 was like putting his thumb on top of David and saying, you are just in my way. But hey, listen, the very words of the giants, he had no fear. No confidence in Saul's armor. He had no doubt in his weaponry. He had no fear. No fear in his words. The words were like this. You come to me in such a small stature? That part brought offense to the Philistine. There in verse 42. He said, it disdained him because you're a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. You got small stature, son. What in the world are you doing with me? That upsets me. That disrespects who I am. I'm the champion. And you come up here, little bitty ruddy kid. So we find his words, though, didn't at all move David. You know why? Because he's persuaded in the living God. And then he said to him like this. He said, not only do you come with me in a small stature, but you come with me with a stick. The word stave there means stick. Verse 43. He said, you come to me with the staves, with sticks. Don't you see what I have? I got a sword, I got a spear, I got a shield, and you have a stave. You come to me like that. He said, then you come to him with stupidity. I mean, he's just thinking David's stupid, David's ignorant, David ain't got no sense, David's crazy. He said, David, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with you, son, is I'm going to make you suffer. I mean, the beast and the fowls are going to eat up on you, and then you're just going to be nothing. So you know what? But David, because he had persuasion in the living God, he had no fear. He had no fear of Goliath's words. He had no question in his weaponry. He had no confidence in Saul's armor. But then fourthly, he had no doubt in God's wisdom. No doubt, verse 45. He said, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. You know, he says to this giant, to this Goliath, the Philistine, he explains his enemy's power. His enemy's power that you see right here, the sword, the spear, and the shield, it was a physical power. The physical power. And so you find that not only was it a physical power, a spear, a sword, and a shield, but it was a logical power. A logical. Because it just makes sense that you would have a spear and a sword and a shield. Just makes sense. It don't make sense to have a staff, a stone, and a sling. That's not logical. Oh, but with this, he says, I see my enemy, and you are logical and you're physical. But then thirdly, I notice that he is tactical, right? Because a spear and a shield and a sword is for tactical purposes, right? I mean, you could do something with those three differently, and you can attack in different ways in different areas. And so all three of those are different purposes. And so we find tactically, we see logically, we see physically that this weapons is being announced. He's saying to this giant, this is what you have. You have a sword, a spear, and a shield. Can I say to you that during that day, that was the latest and the greatest, and it was the finest of all weapons? It would be equivalent to our aircrafts that we have out there. It's equivalent to our airplanes. It's equivalent to our tanks. It's equivalent to our atomic bomb. It's equivalent to all the weaponry that you and I could say that I, as American, we have physical, logical, tactical weapons. And it would be the same in the sight of this Philistine, this Goliath, in all of his country. He would have that weaponry. And here is David saying, I have no doubt in the wisdom of God. Because I've got faith that I'm going to take down that Goliath. But I don't have anything he has. And I'm not as he is. I've got no doubt in the wisdom of God. And sometimes we get in life and we get a giant in our lives. And those giants are very big, very large, very logical, tactical, physical. And we're thinking, Lord, what are you thinking? Lord, I don't know. I don't know the wisdom you got here. I don't know, Lord. It just seems like I'm getting pressured. I'm getting pushed. Everything just seems to be falling apart here. Lord, you sure you know where I'm at? You sure that I'm with you and you're with me? And tonight we find, but David, he was persuaded in the living God, and he said, I've got no doubt in God's wisdom. I've got no doubt. And so we find tonight that we pray that you have this type of faith. Fourthly, tonight, in closing, my last point, I got other points under this point, but this is my last point, Brother Keith, is the proving of the living God. So tonight, those who have faith and those who live by faith, you're going to live a faithful life. You're going to prove God in your life. It's a constant proving God. It's a constant proving God that God says, listen, if you pray, you shall receive, and so you're going to pray. And I'm going to prove you, Lord, that I'm going to receive. He says, ask in my name and you shall receive. And so there's a proving. It's a constant proving of God in our lives. And David is about to prove God. And in proving God, number one, I noticed that the power is in the name of the Lord of the host. He says that in verse 45. He says you're going to come with a sword, spear, and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. So that's his power. And that's the power that you and I have if we live by faith. It's not going to be in our physical strength. It's not going to be in our weaponry. It's not going to be in our wisdom, but it's going to all be in his wisdom. It's going to be in his strength. And it's going to be God in his power. And tonight we've got to understand that living by faith does not require us to get a gun. Living by faith tonight does not require us to pick up a sign. Living by faith tonight does not require us to stand out and protest or do things that are just not what God would have us to do. But living by faith tonight is knowing that when we fight this enemy, when we put down this enemy, it's because of the power that's in the name of the Lord. That's how we need to live tonight. It's his wisdom. It's his power. It's him that's fighting the battle. And as I say to you tonight, many a times I feel that we're wearing ourselves out in this Christian life because we want to fight our own battles. And I feel like many a times tonight that we're living by flesh, we're living by feelings, and we're living by facts, and we're not living by faith, and we find that these enemies won't go away. We find that what you're facing, what's up before you, is not being defeated. It's going to take faith to defeat them, and it's going to take the power of the Lord to do that. And so David was one tonight who was going to prove God, and he's going to prove God by knowing that the power was in the name of the Lord. That's what he told him. Secondly, the promise is in the name of the Lord. Verse 46, he says, this day. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say 2 days from now. He said, this day. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that they all earth may know that there is God in Israel. This is a promise. And so the promise is in the name of the Lord. I will defeat this enemy. That's what you need to say. I will overcome this giant. God will give me this giant. It will be done in the name of God. He'll be done by the promise of the name of God. But I got that promise. I've got that persuasion. I'm going to prove God. It will not overcome me. I will overcome it because of the power of God. Amen. Many a times we live lives of saying we can't get it done. It's never going to change. It's never going to work. He's a bum. He'll be a bum all his life. I mean, no, she's right there. She's a grumpy person. She'll always be a grumpy person. That guy over there and that girl over there, this over there, my job, I'll never get better. I mean, it's just constantly on the way of defeat, 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 defeat. That's not faith tonight. Faith is saying, here's my giant, and in the name of God shall it be overcome. And put that persuasion and faith in God and promise it will be done. Amen. I'm talking about confidence. I'm talking about living in confidence tonight. Not being intimidated, but unintimidated. And we see tonight, lastly, the prevailing. The prevailing is in the name of the Lord. Verse 46, it was David's faith that brought the prevailing. He said, the Lord will deliver me in thy hand. That was faith by him. He's saying, Lord, before this is happening, I got faith that it will happen. That's faith. So we see it took the servant's faith in order to find a prevailing. So we know that he prevailed. Verse 50 says, so David prevailed over the Philistine. So how did he do that? Well, David's faith. Number two, when was David's faith that prevailed? But I noticed that it was God's fight. We find that in verse 47. He said, in this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. So it's God's fight. And when you learn that, you'll find victory. That it's his fight. It's his battle. It's not between you and your husband. It's not between you and your children. It's not between you and your employee. It's not between you and anybody else. It's not between you and the devil. It's not between you and the world. It's not between you and the flesh. It's not between any. It's the Lord's battle. Back up! Remove yourself from the situation. You're in the way. Stop! Quit. You are creating more trouble and problems. Put your faith in God. Let God work it. The battle belongs to the Lord tonight. Oh God, help us tonight. Number three, we find that in God's fight, let me finish this. In verse 48, he talks about a servant. Look what his servant did. He said, and it came to pass when the Philistines arose, he came and drew nigh to meet David. And David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. The servant. What did he do? He didn't back up. He didn't quit. He didn't flee. He didn't doubt. He went right to the giant. What did he do when he got to the giant? Well, he got a stone. He got a stone. Where did he get that stone from? He picked up five stones. Is that right? He picked up five stones down in that riverbank. Is that right? Down that riverbank, that water flows down that riverbank. That stone may have been this big one time. Right? So as long as that water's running on it, that water is shaping it. It's shaping it. It's making it exactly all this time going on. Did you not think that God placed that boulder some thousands of years ago, maybe, and allowed that water to flow on it? Flow on it. The time came when David was going to pick up that five smooth stones. He picks up five smooth stones. God said, I just need one. He picks up that one. That was perfect. Fits in that sling just right. He gets that sling. He pulls that sling back. He aims at the head. There's no doubt David was a great slinger. He slang it. The Bible says he slang it. Did y'all read that? I like that. He slang it. So he pulled back that smooth stone that God's been working on for a lot of years. I preached another message one time talking about you might be one of the five smooth stones that God's been working on. Finally, he put that stone. He let it go. But you know what? When he let it go, that's all he could do. God made the stone. God formed the stone. God put the stone in the servant's hand. God put faith in the servant that he was going to pull back. And when he let go, God took that stone. And God took that stone through the air, put it right in the center of the head of that giant, Goliath. God did that. Goliath just fell down without saying a word. That was God. That was God. Just takes a servant to take something that God's already made and do what God's asked you to do and let it go. And God does the rest. Tonight, that's what faith is. That's what faith is all about tonight. The champion falls. So we see David's faith. We see God's fight. We see the champion falls. Verse 50, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, smote the Philistine, slew him, and there had no sword in his hand of David. And then the enemy was fleeing. The Bible says in verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw the champion was dead, they fled. Unintimidated never loses. Unintimidated never loses. I don't want to live a lost life. I don't want to be able to say that in my Christian life, that all my life I've been intimidated. That's telling me that there was no faith. I'm asking you, church, tonight, are you intimidated? And what is it tonight that's intimidating you? And maybe tonight, we can run to the God of Israel, fall on our face, ask God to forgive us for being intimidated and not living by faith, and help us to get through these giants in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And is there any prayer request tonight? Yes, sir. Got it, sir.
My God and I walk through the meadows here.
My God.
clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows here. He tells me of the years that went before me, when heavenly plans were made for me to be, when all was but to come to life, earth's verdant glory see.
My God and I will go foray together. We'll walk and talk as good friends should and do. This earth will pass, and with it come and trifles, but God and I will go unendingly.
This earth will pass, and with it come and trifles, but God and I will go.
The stars shine on the earth. The stars shine on the sea. The stars look up to God. The stars look down on me. The stars will shine for a million years, a million years and a day. But God and I will live and love when the stars have passed away.